Tonight and tomorrow night, the Warren Theater in Old Town will be holding special screenings of the suspense thriller Sorcerer. The now 37-year-old film follows four men who, for various reasons, end up in a South American village hired to transport deeply unstable nitroglycerin 200 miles by truck through the jungle in order to put out a huge oil fire.
My stuff has been sitting the better part of a year. It's worthless.
What do you mean?
When it sits for a long time without being turned, that liquid nitro seeps out of the sticks and into the bag. If you give those cases any kind of a bump, it'll blow.
It's risky moving one of those cases 10 feet. That fire is over 200 miles away.
If it were up there, could you use it?
I suppose we could boom load it a little bit at a time, yes. How the hell are you going to get it up?
It's not your problem. We'll get it up there.
The movie was directed by William Friedkin, who at the time was on a hot streak, having won an Oscar just 6 years earlier, but who then watched Sorcerer become a major financial disappointment. Still, in the years since its initial release, the movie has become a cult hit, and now with an entirely remastered Blu-ray edition available, it's been making its way around the country in a series of special screenings. William Friedkin joins us this morning to talk about the genesis of Sorcerer, his thoughts on its early lack of success, and this rediscovery that's now taking place. William Friedkin, thank you for being with us on Morning Edition.
It's a pleasure, Fletcher. Nice to talk to you.
Now, Sorcerer was first released in 1977, and by that time you'd already won an Academy Award for directing The French Connection, and you'd been nominated for another Academy Award for The Exorcist. What was it about Sorcerer that made you feel like this was the next move you wanted to make?
I decided, after a long conversation with the guy who wrote it, a man named Wally Green, who had written The Wild Bunch, and who had worked with me in documentary film, to do a film based on the French film The Wages of Fear, because we thought it was a universal theme, the idea of four strangers who disliked one another intensely but had to cooperate in order to survive. And that seemed to me to be a metaphor for the world. And I saw it as a new version of Wages of Fear. In the same way that if you do a production of Hamlet, you know, it's not a remake, it's a new version.
Right, because The Wages of Fear, the French film, was actually based on a book that came out a few years before that.
It was a French novel by a very interesting guy called Georges Arnaud.
Okay, so you saw it as more of another adaptation of his book rather than, as a lot of people refer to it, a remake of the original film.
Well, it's easy to call it a remake, and I understand that, and I don't fight against it. It is a new version of that story with different characters, different situations, but the same underlying theme.
And then, of course, it's released, and as has been well documented, the movie wasn't particularly successful financially. Did that surprise you?
Yes, because I had enjoyed recent success. And when that happens to you, especially at a younger age as a filmmaker, you begin to think you're bulletproof and that everything you touch is going to turn to gold. And I was rather quickly dispelled of that notion.
And at the time, what did you think was contributing to the lack of success?
You never know. There's no doubt that, you know, it came out at the same time as Star Wars. And Star Wars changed the entire zeitgeist of filmmaking and film viewing. Star Wars opened under the radar, and Sorcerer was expected to be a big hit, in spite of the fact that there were numerous things that, on reflection, you'd say, well, of course this film was going to struggle in that time. You know, it had a couple of scenes that were subtitled and in foreign languages, and there are no superheroes in it. In fact, the main characters are anti-heroes. And along came Star Wars, which firmly embedded the idea of a superhero in the public's consciousness, and not simply in this country.
What were you thinking at the time? Were you just simply upset that the movie wasn't doing so well?
No, I wouldn't say upset. I mean, when you make something, a film, a novel, a painting, a poem, whatever it may be, you do it out of some inner necessity. Whether it works financially and critically is not something you can control. You can control the making of it, but nothing else. You know, as you do this, that the audience reaction is the audience reaction.
So considering this necessity you might have felt to make Sorcerer, did you accomplish what you felt you needed to accomplish just within the world of making the movie?
Yes, it's the film that came closest to my vision of it. Before you make a film, you have the entire film in your mind's eye. I mean, I do. I see the whole picture from beginning to end. Now, often I'll vary that vision or change it in the cutting room to various degrees. But I have a vision of the film before I set out to make it. And I've prepared any number of films where I couldn't see that vision through, and so I abandoned them. But Sorcerer came just as close as anything I've ever made to how I envisioned the film before I shot it. I can still watch Sorcerer. I still love the film. I can still watch it. And that's not true of a number of the films I've made.
Tell me about this rediscovery of Sorcerer that seems to be happening right now. Why do you feel like that might be happening?
For some reason, after it was released in 1977, its reputation grew across the world by young people who had seen it then, younger critics and audiences who remembered it and sought it out whenever it was being rerun. And there were campaigns started, and there's a whole internet website devoted to it. And over the years, it has been remembered fondly by people who either saw it at the time or heard about it and then got a hold of very bad prints of it, and it acquired a reputation far beyond its initial the initial response to it.
Sorcerer plays tonight and tomorrow night at both 7 and 10 o'clock at the Warren Theater in Old Town. And tonight, William Friedkin will Skype in a Q&A following the 7 o'clock showing. William Friedkin, thank you so much for being with us on Morning Edition.
Thank you, Fletcher. It was great talking to you.
And you can hear much more from William Friedkin at our website, kmuw.org.